Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. Good. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Happy Saturday to you and everybody. Thank you for coming on to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. Again, on this show, we're going to be talking about, as you heard, Cody Rhodes. He's on the road to WrestleMania. You know, so we're going to talk about that, the latest chapter between him and his war against the Bloodline. We'll talk about that. We'll give our tribute to Sting, you know, the iconic wrestler who finally hanged it up last week. Talk about the state of the Knicks, you know, the Mets and the Yankees as they, you know, they the, you know, regular season, you know, approaching us very quickly. And, you know, what else was going on in the world of sports and entertainment? But most importantly, You know, we'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to let your voice be heard, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. But before we dive in to the topics we want to talk about, I think we should talk about the sad passing of an anime and video game icon. And of course, I'm talking about the passing of the Dragon Ball Z creator, Akira Toriyama. Let me make sure I get his name right. Akira Toriyama. Yeah, he just passed away recently. This guy's, obviously he created Dragon Ball, and then that later became Dragon Ball Z, one of the shows I loved watching when I was a little kid. And then, of course, he also made the Dragon Quest games, if I'm not mistaken. And then he collaborated with the creators of he tag teamed with the creator of Final Fantasy, and I'm trying to remember the other company he to make this iconic game for Super Nintendo, and one of the greatest time traveling games of all time, Chrono Trigger. I don't know if you're familiar with that title, Mac.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it was a very popular JRPG game. Basically has, you play as these, characters, and basically you time travel into time, into the past, into the future, to stop this evil menace. It was a very popular game that came out in the 90s.
Okay.
I played it briefly when it was on the Wii Shop or Wii U. Very iconic stuff that he created.
Yeah.
But now he passed, he's now gone, I think at the age of 68, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see what was the cause. Let's see.
I think he had some type of issue.
Acute subdural hematoma.
Mm.
He had planned to have a surgery for a brain tumor last month. But unfortunately,
he's no longer with us.
Yeah, passed away. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. The GOAT, as fans are calling him.
The GOAT of anime.
Yeah. He created Dragon Ball Z with such popular characters as Goku,
Dragon Quest,
Vegeta, and
the other
characters. Vegeta, as Stephen A. Smith would say.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith had a tribute, but pronounced arguably, believe it or not, my favorite character in Dragon Ball Z is Vegeta. And Goku is a very close second. But I always like Vegeta more. Vegeta was like a cross between Batman, Wolverine, and dare I say, a little Darth Vader. So I lean more towards Vegeta than Goku, even though I do like Goku's Superman, kind of naive, optimistic point of view. But Vegeta, to me, Vegeta was the cooler character. Or Raphael from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles also was another character that's similar to Vegeta. Yeah, I like the characters who have a little edge to them, But yeah, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, definitely rest in peace.
Yeah, man. Back in the days when I'm watching, you know, the Dragon Ball Z, and then they have the ending, like, you know, next time on Dragon Ball Z. You know,
yeah,
just
get you pumped up for the next episode.
For real, man. And then during that when they moved it to, it was from Channel 11 to like Cartoon Network. They had like that end theme song.
Yeah.
That it makes you want to watch the next episode. I don't think they ever did it. Like, they never come. Remember, they had the Channel 11. They had the Dragon.
I remember.
But they never. I don't think they ever combined the two theme songs. Like,
would have been nice.
That would have been cool. Like, they have that for the intro, and they have the Cartoon Network Toonami. Like, to end it off, man. That would have, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know how. I don't think they ever did that. Like,
no.
It's kind of like Captain Planet. Captain Planet had that intro, but the best part of Captain Planet was the end theme song.
Oh, yeah.
The Planeteer rap.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, come on, these are some layups they could have easily done. But, you know, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, rest in peace indeed. One of the greatest creators ever.
Mm-hmm.
Created one of the best animes/cartoons ever.
Yep, for sure. For sure, for sure. So yeah, man, rest in peace. But shifting gears to something very unlikely, surprising. Mike Tyson reportedly is going to come out of retirement at 57 years old and face Jake Paul, Logan Paul's brother, in a boxing match. So this would be his first real boxing match. I think his fight with Roy Jones, because I think he's had some exhibition fights previously, but this one would be a real match.
Tyson last boxed in 2020 when he had that exhibition fight against Roy Jones. During COVID, if you remember, there wasn't any audience. It was on pay-per-view, and they got a lot of views, a lot of buys. You know, because people wanted to see two of the greatest fighters of all time fighting in a ring with each other. Turned out to be a good boxing match. Ended up being a draw at the end, but that being said, Tyson hasn't fought in 3 years. But he's still in good shape, and even at 55, 56, however old he is, I would not step in a ring with Mike Tyson, knowing what he's capable of, you know, even at his age right now. So Jake Paul is taking a risk here because he might get knocked out by a 56-year-old Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you remember, Jake Paul, his last fight, he lost. In a split decision to who did he lose again? He lost to
was it Mayweather?
No. Jake Paul, not Logan Paul. What was the last fight that he had back in 2013? He lost a split decision. I'm forgetting the name of the guy.
You mean 2023?
Yeah, 2023.
Not 2013. Let me see.
No, not 2013. 2023. Tommy Fury.
Didn't he fight against Tommy Fury's brother or something like that? Tyson. Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Tommy Fury.
Yeah, you're right. Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury's brother. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Tommy Fury.
My
yeah,
fault.
He lost him. But,
yeah, Tommy Fury. Tyson Fury's brother. Yeah, sure, right. My fault.
He lost him, but then again, he won three fights after that. He beat Nate Diaz back in August of last year. Then he beat Andre August in December last year. Then most recently, I think he beat Ryan Berland in Puerto Rico. So he has won 3 straight matches since then. But most of these guys that he's fighting are either retired or past their prime or just older guys who, you know.
And Nate Robinson.
Yeah, and Nate Robinson was a basketball player, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see him fight guys who are currently in their prime who he wouldn't have any chance against whatsoever.
Maybe you might be the next guy he fights.
Like a Tyson Fury right now, right? Or, up-and-coming boxers right now.
Paul versus Mack. You, man. Have that match.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm not a boxer, so.
Hey, you never know. You might come up with a draw that not even a cartoonist could come up with.
Yeah, oh, what about you? We could have you and him, battle here on Sports Urban Legend. That'd be a good match. What about that?
Nah, yeah. I think you'd be more of a, a contest. You know?
I mean, plus you're
a Yankee fan, you know?
Nah.
I mean, you know, you got that pedigree, the R Mystique right there.
I think Winnie Boy against Jake Paul, that would be a great match. I'd love to see that. I'll fight Logan Paul. I would promote that match if that happened.
I'll fight Logan Paul. I won't fight Jake Paul.
Why? Why you don't want to fight Jake Paul?
I think WrestleMania.
Jake Paul would be easier to fight than Logan. Logan is a trainer of wrestlers right now.
Hey, I'll fight Logan, you know. You know, it'll be in WrestleMania, you know.
Okay, you fight Logan, I'll fight Jake.
Okay, let's do that. And you give me half your purse. But don't give the other half to Don King or else he's going to take all of it.
Is Don King still alive?
Yes, apparently. Allegedly.
Is he? Wasn't he reports he died or something? I thought he was...
I didn't hear that.
Really? I could have sworn he passed away or something like that.
I don't. I think he's still alive.
And
well.
Maybe he's just getting up there in age.
Only in America.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, only in America. Let's shift gears to. I guess we'll talk Sting, you know. Only in America, I do like Sting, you know, a great character, a guy who started off as a surfer, then of course in the late 90s with the Crow movie coming out and his character feeling mourning for what WCW used to be before it got taken over by NWO, you know, his character became, you know, the Sting that we all know, you know, for the past almost 30 years now, the Crow version of Sting, you know, the black and white Sting, you know, with the baseball bat. And, for a long time, you know, he avoided WWE. You know, he went from WCW to TNA, and then from TNA, he finally went to WWE after there's multiple times that it looked like he was finally going to come to WWE. But then he finally came to WWE, and it was like too little too late in 2015. And then, unfortunately, instead of him fighting Undertaker at WrestleMania 31, he fought Triple H and lost in a very controversial fashion when WWE tried to force feed an NWO versus DX feud in that matchup. And then, he got hurt against Seth Rollins in a match, which, you know, ended his WWE career. And then he eventually would, a few years later, would sign with AEW and make his debut at AEW Revolution a few years ago, like, 3 years ago? And then, his career went full circle because Revolution pay-per-view event, you know, that was the end of his career. You said something, Mac?
No. I was just listening.
Oh, Must have been my own echo, I heard. But yeah, he retired at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view that happened on the 3rd of last week. And successfully retained the title and went out as a tag team champion with Darby Allin. So, you know, congrats to him. But I guess before we go into the whole, you know, results of what happened, you know, in the pay-per-view event, shout out to Sting, man. Too bad he only had 3 matches in WWE because of that, you know, near career-ending injury he had. And, we never got to see that Undertaker versus Sting match. But he had a phenomenal career, you know, an icon. He had memorable matches with Ric Flair and, he's been an icon, you know, in TNA and in AEW. So, you know, he will definitely be.
No question. Sting, his career has kind of been similar to Undertaker's career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been able to, like Undertaker, he's been able to change his appearance and change his character over the years and be able to adapt to the times.
Mm-hmm.
But he still remained, you know, one of the best wrestlers out there and put on great matches. When I first started watching WCW, the guy that stood out the most to me was Sting.
Hmm.
You know, Sting was the guy that I loved watching, you know, in WCW back when he was Surfer Sting.
Hmm.
And he had the Scorpion Deathlock, and you know, I was like, who is this guy that's doing the Bret Hart Sharpshooter? And you know, he had the Ultimate Warrior, had that Ultimate Warrior makeup on,
hmm.
you know. And, I just found him fascinating. And then over years, you know, he then turned into Crow Sting,
mm-hmm.
which was my second favorite character of his. You know, but, he's been able to adapt and, you know, change his character over time and
mm-hmm.
still remain relevant,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, yeah, it's, you know, he's going to be missed in the wrestling world now that he's going to be retired. But he's going to go down as one of the greatest wrestlers ever and definitely a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, even in TNA, he changed his character to Joker Sting.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah, Joker Sting. But, the two most popular characters of his was definitely Surfer Sting and the Crow Sting.
No doubt.
Those were definitely the most popular ones, but... Yeah, definitely, you know, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and it's going to be sad to see him go.
Yeah, definitely.
Just wish that, he could have had that last match, you know, with Undertaker. That would have been great.
It would have been. Unfortunately, that will never happen, no.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if we could at least had the, what was the name of that match, the Undertaker last match with AJ Styles. I'm trying to remember what they called it. The Barnyard match. You know, like a cinematic kind of match where it's not really a match, but they had, you know, like, it was like a action movie. You know, those guys were too old to be in the ring, at least have them interact in some type of fighting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Undertaker, like, he felt like from what I heard, you know, Undertaker didn't feel like the match was going to, you know, because they both were up there in age. So he didn't feel like the match was going to be good. But, you know, he ended up almost getting killed by fighting Goldberg, I should say. Like, we would rather see him fight Sting than Goldberg. Goldberg has always had the reputation of, you know, being too rough on the ring. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
If they didn't have that match in during the Ruthless Aggression era when Goldberg popped up, you know, the ship would have sailed there. Or at least if you would have gave us Sting, faced this Sting, then maybe we could have been like, okay, maybe we'd be more open to it. But, yeah, I think finding Sting would have been more safer than finding Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it is what it is, you know. And another thing that kept Sting from coming to WWE was apparently he saw, you know, how WWE treated Booker T initially. You know, when Booker T basically had to start over from scratch. Because, you know, in the storyline, you know, Booker T makes his debut and The Rock says, "Who in the blue hell are you?" and stuff like that. So Sting took a personal offense to it. That's like, oh, you know, you're bad-mouthing, you know, our WCW guys, you know. So he felt like if they're going to treat Booker T like that, they're going to treat him like that. So that's what kept, that's what made him go to TNA and spend like 10 years over there. So, yeah, it's just, I think Sting, you know, kind of, you know, misinterpret the thing. Like, I think if he came, he would have gotten the respect he, you know, he felt he deserved, you know. But and Booker T, you know, he had the right mindset and the right attitude, you know. Like, you know, he's starting over. He's, you know, he's like the you know, he's like the cool new kid who just came to school and he's just trying to fit in. You know what I mean? He's trying to reestablish himself. You know what I mean? And that's how Booker T was able to rise, you know, in the ranks of WWE so quickly, because he knew he had to start over, and he earned the boys' respect, you know, the guys in the back's respect. So, I mean, you know, I think things should have showed up,
yeah,
at least a decade earlier.
Yeah, I agree.
Know? But unfortunately, I mean, when he came, it was too little too late, and WWE misused him too, you know. He only fought in 3 matches, you know. They had the build-up with him and Triple H, you know, Survivor Series, you know, was great. But they should have had him fight, you know, Undertaker at that WrestleMania. I mean, you know, Undertaker did fight Bray Wyatt that WrestleMania, which, I mean, it was a good one. I mean, if you remember, that was the WrestleMania after the streak was over. So Undertaker didn't show up a whole year. So Bray Wyatt, the late, great Bray Wyatt, was basically, you know, having a one-sided feud because Undertaker literally wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's, Sting versus Undertaker will go down to me with The Rock and, you know, Shawn Michaels as the greatest matches that will never happen. So you're going to have to play the wrestling games if you want to see that happening. Yeah. So, yeah, let's just dive into the Revolution results here. So, yeah, so first matchup was the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, which basically has the acclaimed Max Caster and Anthony Bowens team up with Billy Gunn and his sons from the Gunn Club, Austin and Colton Gunn, and Jay White. They defeated Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party, which has Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn. Well, yeah, so it was a 12-man tag team match. But, yeah, on a side note, yeah, man, AEW has been dropping the ball on AJ Lethal. I thought once he came in, he would have been, like, a legit AEW champion contender. But it's like we had him, you know, be like Jeff Jarrett's lackey, really. You know, they never really gave him a chance to, like, to shine as a, you know, as a potential, you know, AEW champion, in my opinion. Second, the other match was Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart and Sky Blue in a tag team match. Christian Cage with the Patriarchy, which is his tag team, which has Killswitch, formerly known as Luchasaurus, Mother Wayne, and the Prodigy, Nick Wayne, defeated. So basically, Christian Cage defeated Daniel Garcia in a singles match to retain the AEW TNT Championship. Eddie Kingston retains the AEW Continental Championship. By pinfall. Wardlow defeats Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Lance Archer. Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and and Dante Martin in an All-Star Scramble match. The winner would receive a future AEW World Championship match. So Wardlow won that opportunity. Congrats to him. Roderick Strong defeats Orange Cassidy, to become the new AEW International Champion. Blackpool Combat Club, John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli, formerly known as Cesaro, defeat FDR in a tag team match. Timeless Toni Storm retains the title against Deonna Purrazzo for the AEW Women's World Championship. Will Ospreay defeats Konosuke Takeshita in a singles match. Samoa Joe retains the title against Hangman Adam Page, and Swerve Strickland retained the AEW World Championship. And last but not least, Sting and Darby Allin retains the AEW World Tag Team Championship against the Young Bucks, who are going by their full name now, Matthew Jackson and Nicholas Jackson, by submission. So congratulations to Sting. Congratulations to AEW for making Sting go out on top, because, you know, the wrestling norm is, you know, a legendary wrestler, you know, they have to lose in their final match, but AEW flipped the script, so Sting went out as champion, and I think that was the best call for them.
Yeah, congrats.
And another thing is, in the match, he had his two sons, dress up as former versions of Sting, the Surfer one, and the NWO one. You know, version of Sting, and he hit the Scorpion Deathlock on one of the Young Bucks to get the submission. So congrats to Sting, and best of luck with him in his retirement. As of right now,
we might see him again, but in a different role.
Yeah, but as of right now, he doesn't want to be a manager. So right now, he doesn't know what he would want to do if he would want to return to wrestling. You know, in a behind the scenes type of role or on camera. As of right now, he's just enjoying retirement. So, you know, best of luck to him. And speaking of tag teams, you got The Rock and Roman Reigns, officially they're going to face against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes after Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins last night on SmackDown agreed to The Rock's counteroffer of, you know, facing the Bloodline at night one of WrestleMania. So what you thought about that and the slap heard around the world?
It was, you know, I saw it last night, and, you know, we were at Applebee's while we were watching it, and there was no sound on the TV, so we couldn't hear what happened. Ended up watching the highlight today, and it was a well-deserved slap because Rock deserved it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt that slap. You know, I felt like I slapped Rock.
So that's why you got rushed to the hospital after, you know, we were hanging out. No wonder.
But no, it was a nice slap by Cody Rhodes, and now that we're going to have this tag team match between Rock and Roman Reigns against Rhodes and Rollins, that's going to kick off the first night very nicely. This set the tone for, you know, the rest of the matches going forward throughout that night and that weekend. So I think it's a great idea that they're going to have this tag team match that first night. And then we can find out what happens after that. You know, maybe Rock will betray Roman. Maybe he won't. You know, it's going to be interesting. Interesting to see what happens after that tag team match.
No doubt. So, basically, Cody Rhodes, you know, basically got his revenge on The Rock after The Rock slapped him several weeks ago.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was that slap was more vicious. Rhodes' slap was more vicious than Rock's.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, The Rock had it coming.
Yeah.
Even though I'm rooting for The Rock, but. You know,
I'd slap Rock in the face if I could.
But then you'd hit rock bottom if you did. But this feud is very interesting for sure. Like twists and turns. You never know what's gonna happen next. The Rock is bringing it, man. You know, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what else is going on with this feud and this upcoming match, tag team match, night one of WrestleMania, headlining WrestleMania. What else was I going to say about this? I lost my train of thought, but, I'm really looking forward to this matchup. Anything else that major happened in WWE that I can't put my finger on?
Logan Paul, Logan Paul, Randy Orton.
All right.
Feud.
Yeah, Logan Paul, he almost got RKO'd by, Orton, but instead KSI got the RKO. And this looks like this is leading to a feud for Orton and Paul at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see. So we're going to see Logan Paul get RKO'd and Jake Paul get TKO'd.
And remember, TKO is the name of the company that owns WWE, and The Rock is now part of the board of directors.
Right.
But yeah, I'm glad to see The Rock's back, and you know, he's laying the verbal smackdown on everybody, especially that walking clown emoji Seth Rollins, man. Who has no business being in this feud anyway. This is between The Rock, Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes. Like, Seth Rollins inserting himself, he's a champion on the other brand. Like, this literally has nothing to do with him. He's just using his personal bias against The Rock for his chance to just insert himself into this feud. Like, this feud literally has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, he says, Rollins said that Rock is going through a midlife crisis.
And Seth Rollins, too. Like, this business has nothing to do with him. Like, this is between the three of them. Like, Seth Rollins needs to focus on who's going to face him at WrestleMania. Like, not the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes storyline. But yeah, we'll see what happens as it goes along. And yeah, lastly, what was I gonna say? Congratulations to Dante DiVincenzo. He became the fourth Knick player in history to have at least 200 three-pointers in a single season. He joins John Starks from 94-95, Julius Randle from 2002-23, which was last year, and Evan Fournier, 2021 to 2022, when Evan Fournier set the all-time record.
Yeah, congrats to him. Yeah, that's a lot of three-pointers. And we still have more games left, so he could have 300 maybe.
He has 19 games left, so he has and I think the record is 240-something. So he has 19 games to surpass Fournier.
Yeah, he could finish close to 300.
Mm-hmm.
He goes crazy with three-pointers. But yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. He might get to that 240, 230 maybe.
Yeah, man. Let's hope he can keep it up and stay healthy.
Yeah. Well, talking about healthy, Knicks sound like the Knicks are gonna get healthy. I mean, they got Brunson came back last night, played a good game, and that win against the Magic. Holding the Magic to, what, 74, 75 points? Most the least points they've allowed since 2012, 12 years. And you hear OG Anunoby is working out with contact, and he might be cleared to play soon. So it looks like we're going to start to get some of these guys back now.
That's great.
And hopefully Randall to follow and Robinson to follow after that.
Yeah, hopefully, because we definitely need those guys. Man, we're falling out of the standings, man.
Well, last night was a big win, right? Because if we had lost, mm-hmm. we would have fell down all the way to seventh. But because we beat the Magic, we're back in fourth place right now.
That's good, man. I mean, the margin for error is very small.
Yeah.
You know, we need that one to, you know, keep pace. So yeah, we're definitely not out of the woods yet, because we do not want to go to the play-in. Cuz when you play in, you lose one game, you're playing out. You played out and you're outside ASAP. And and baseball basically, spring training is coming up soon, and you know, Soto is going to try to prove himself in his walk year and put up a monster numbers with the Yankees. How many homers do you think he'll hit this year?
Soto?
Mm-hmm.
I think he can hit 35 to 40, maybe. I think Judge will have 40 to 50. I mean, on paper, you know, offensively, we should be very good. But we should hit all kind of home runs with Soto in the lineup now. Hopefully Stanton, be coming back leaner and hopefully injury-free, you know, he can add, you know, 25 to 30 home runs.
Yeah, this is a lineup that's going to do some damage.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Judge, Stanton, Soto. Yeah, that's a dangerous lineup right there.
Yeah.
And on the Mets side, you know, Mets didn't really do nothing in the offseason, but if they stay healthy, I mean, other than Stanger getting hurt, you know, if they could stay healthy, you know, they, who knows, they could surprise some people because their offense isn't that bad, you know, but they're banking on a lot of people bouncing back, most notably Marte. You know, if Marte bounced back, McNeil's, you know, gets back being healthy. You know, they have a good team. You know, if they start, I mean, you know, offensive wise, you know, you have Marte healthy, that he's going to steal a lot of bases. Even though he had a horrible year, he still stole 24, you know, last year. You have him, you have Nimmo, you got, But what they really need protection for Pete Alonso, because Pete Alonso hit 46 even though he had no protection. Well, because he had no protection, he batted 217 for the whole year, which is below, you know, something, you know, below Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso, you know, he's like a 270 type hitter. I mean, there was a year he hit 250 something, but. Yeah, but 217, like, that's insane. So right now they're thinking maybe Francisco Alvarez might bat fifth. You know, he hit, like, what, 25 home runs as a rookie last year, you know, catching. But the problem is he hit, like, 209. So that's the problem with the Mets hitters. You know, they have some good hitters, but these guys are streaky, especially Alonso, you know. You know, so they definitely need somebody bona fide to bat behind Alonso, because they have too many question marks. You know, every year the Mets is like, if this happens, if this person stays healthy, if this person stays healthy, if this person ranks right here, da, 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 and then 99% of the time it doesn't happen. So it's like. I'll give David Stern some credit that they have a lot of depth in case if people get hurt, they're not relying solely on the starting lineup and the rotation and all that stuff. They have some people who potentially, whether it's prospects or veterans, who could, you know, hold on the fort. So. Yeah, we shall see.
How many wins do you think do you give the Mets winning this year?
I'm gonna say between 85 and 90. 90 is the ceiling.
Okay.
But I think they'll be slightly above 500. Will that be enough to get a wild card? Perhaps. But, you know me, if we're not winning the World Series, man, then, I mean, I really don't care if they go to the playoffs, you know. I mean, let's see what the Mets can
do. You have to be in it to win it, so.
I mean, it's true, but we shall see, man. Hopefully they can surprise the world and go far, but a lot of stuff has to go right. And I guess one more thing with the Nets, man. Isn't Ben Simmons gonna be out for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be out for the year. He's gonna get I think he's getting an opinion on his back, because he has some nerve damage in his back, and he's gonna seek some advice on. whether to get to have surgery or whether to rest, or, you know, I'm not sure which way he's going to go with that, but it looks like he's out for the remaining of the season while he consults with specialists.
Yeah, that's really messed up. Like, guy with so much
has not
talent.
Been the same. He has not been the same in 4 years. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like a different player. The guy has so much potential. You know, at one point they were even calling him the next LeBron when he first came in the league.
Yes, it's insane. Like, it's insane. Like, this guy has so much potential, and it's, you know, and the injuries and some people questioning his heart, you know, not trying to come back and maybe having some, you know, some issues. This is a horrible trade. Like, any way you want to slice it, you know, James Harden, you know, he's a malcontent, but, you know, you trade him and you get Ben Simmons. Like, it's, I mean, they just keep making worse their trades. Nets, man, they gotta bounce back.
Yeah, Ben Simmons has played a total of 56 games in his 2 years with the Nets.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, hopefully he, if this is the end of his career, hopefully he'll find something that he'll find fulfilling in his retirement. Because that looks like that's most likely what's going to happen, you know. Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Yeah, one last thing about the Saquon Barkley Giants. Didn't give him the franchise tag, so he now becomes a unrestricted free agent, and it looks like he might move on. Doesn't look like the Giants will re-sign him, so he might. We might. I think we've seen the last of Saquon Barkley, unfortunately.
How do you feel about that as a diehard Yankee, a Giant fan?
I mean, it's a bit sad, you know. The guy he had a few good seasons. There were you know, a couple of seasons where he was plagued with some injuries, but I think he had a good career overall with the Giants, and we just couldn't. If we had a better offensive line and a better quarterback, I think this guy could have put up much better numbers than what he did during his time here. You know, it's unfortunate that we couldn't provide him with a better O-line, you know, to help him with the gaps and to help his game a bit. But, you know, I wish him luck. You know, hopefully he goes to a better team where he can have more success and maybe win the championship. But it'll be sad seeing him go.
Yeah, it would be. Hopefully the Giants can find a way to re-sign them.
Hopefully, but I don't think that – it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like they want to go in a different direction.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It doesn't look that way. Anything else you'd like to say also?
Check out my show, iMac. Check your local listings for that every Saturdays at 10 p.m. And come back here to check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Box Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the man. Check out both shows and come back here next week. And, you know, we'll play what's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. So, again, come back next week, Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Lamo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.